You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey, and I'll be joined shortly by co-host Dennis Wissman. 2020 has brought a ton of challenges to many of us, and it's led many people to rethink their plans for retirement. That includes business owners who might now be reconsidering their exit strategies and contemplating what's next for them after they sell their business, whether it's something they do in the near term or perhaps longer term. Today's guest, Ashley Michike, is the CEO and retirement plan specialist at True North Retirement Advisors. Ashley specializes in qualified retirement plans like 401ks, profit-sharing plans, and cash balance plans, and she has earned both the Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor and the Qualified Plan Financial Consultant designations. Ashley works with her business owner clients to help build and maintain successful retirement plans that recruit, reward, and retain good employees while controlling costs. Most importantly, her goal is to help maximize the number of employees who retire with adequate savings. Ashley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Joe and Dennis. It's great to be here. I'm excited.
So we've had several guests, including Chris Farrell, who wrote a book called Purpose in a Paycheck, and Charlotte Japp, who founded an organization named Circle, who educated us about the trend of intergenerational partnerships. And your company is actually one of those. Could you please tell us a story and how you each complement one another?
Sure. So I actually started working with my father right outside of college. I joined him in his financial advisory practice. And, you know, at the time, this was in 2007. So at the time, you know, I wasn't sure really what I wanted to do long term, if I even wanted to be an advisor. But I ended up getting a finance degree in college because I actually did like finance. And then when I joined my father, I very quickly realized that, wow, this is really something that I really enjoy doing. I thought that being a financial advisor was all about just the numbers and investments and stock market. And I was sort of so-so on that. But then when I got into the business and I realized that it was more about the people and the relationships and helping people make progress on their goals, that was sort of the glue that kind of stuck me around in the business and working with my father. But intergenerationally, I think it's really rewarding to be able to work with family and see your family every day. I know there's a lot of ups and downs. There's certainly some baggage that comes with working with family. And I think there are some key things that need to be present. Like you have to have somewhat of a healthy relationship outside of work in order to make it happen. But my dad has always been really respectful of, you know, I think a lot of kids who join their parents in their business, they're not kids anymore, right? They're adults now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for them for their parents to kind of see them in that light and take them seriously and for them to have a true partnership. But that honestly has never been an issue for me. And my father, we view each other more as equals. He obviously has a lot more experience than I do. But he defers to me on a lot of things. And right now, even with our business, so we actually own True North Retirement Advisors jointly, and he defers to me. I make all of the key business decisions and the strategic plan, and we're hiring somebody right now. And so I do payroll, I do hiring, I do all these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he trusts my judgment quite a bit. So I think that trust is key. But one of the great things about working with family is that you do have sort of this built-in trust, right? You have this partnership with somebody and you know that they're not going to stab you in the back or do anything, especially when it's a parent-child relationship. They're not going to do anything that's going to be damaging to the partnership or to you or your relationship. At least that's what you hope for. But there's definitely a level of trust there that exists that doesn't exist outside of the family relationship dynamic.
So how did you get into exit planning?
So when I started with my father, he actually grew his practice in the 1980s and 90s by cold calling. And that worked really well back then. He's like, yeah, that worked for me. So you should try that. And so I did. And it was a disaster. I was terrible at it. No one who was on the do not call list in, 2007, 2008, everybody who was on the do not call list was on there for a reason. And usually it was because they had no one else to talk to, not because they wanted to, talk to a financial advisor about their retirement. So what ended up happening is I very quickly realized that calling individuals was not working, but I could call businesses. And so I kind of fell into it by accident, because what I started doing is I actually started going door to door to businesses, and I would talk to them about their 401k plan and, try to win their business that way. And I was successful at it. And so I started building this practice that I had, that I was managing and consulting with 401k plans. And most of them were small businesses where my primary contact was the business owner. And so I grew into this niche pretty much by accident, starting working with business owners. And then I very quickly realized that I love working with business owners. They're very quirky, and I love hearing their stories. A lot of them sort of built their businesses from nothing. I've worked with a lot of different business owners in a lot of different industries. But then what I found was a lot of these owners I have been working with and was working with at the time, a lot of them were close to retirement. A lot of them had pretty much everything tied up in their business. And when you're a business owner, the decision to retire is much more complicated, because not only do you have to figure out what you're going to do about when you retire and Social Security and, do I have enough to retire, all those things, but then you have this big elephant in the room, which is the business. And so that really sort of led me down this path to focusing more on, okay, how is your business a component of your retirement? It's usually a pretty big component. And so I started talking with my business owner clients more and more about that. And then about 8 years ago, one of my business owner clients died very suddenly of a heart attack. And I kind of watched from, and he had done no planning or anything. And I watched from the sidelines as his business crumbled. His long-term employees were very quickly let go and laid off. The company was sold for pennies on the dollar to an East Coast competitor. We're on the West Coast here. And just everything that could have gone wrong after he died did go wrong. And it was very hard to watch. And I thought, I really need to go deeper into this with clients and talking to them and helping them and carving out a plan for exit. And along with that, what happens to your business? How can we protect your business and protect your family if things don't go as planned? And so I started having more of those conversations. And so it led to a specialization in exit planning. And actually, at the beginning of this year, I got my certified, I'm now a certified exit planner. So I've kind of gone into the deep end of the pool there.
So Ashley, what are the essential components of a good exit strategy?
Yes, that's a very good question. So every business is different depending on how many employees you have and what your exit path looks like. But I think that there's a few components that are really universal. One is understanding your priorities. Like, what is important to you? What are your goals as it relates to your business, and how and why and when you want to exit? Because there are literally hundreds, thousands of things, big and small, that you could do to plan and try to set yourself up for success on that exit. But we have to focus on the things that are going to move the needle the most. And so we have to really understand what your goals are, what your priorities are, and then, the plan, then the exit plan, the building of that, the implementation always goes back to the priorities. And okay, what do we need to focus on right now? What do we need to focus on later? And what can wait if we get around to it? So there's understanding priorities, which inform every stage of the exit planning process. And then the other thing that's a very essential component very early on is valuation, understanding what your business is worth. I find that very few business owners actually have a good pulse on what their business is worth. And actually, there was a study done a couple of years ago that found that only 2% of business owners know what their business value is. 98% of us just don't, or we use a rule of thumb that's inaccurate. So the reason why the valuation is so important is that we need to know what we're starting with. What is the business worth today? Is that going to be enough for you to, you know, kind of move forward with your exit plan? Or do we need to grow the value of the business in order to set ourselves up for success for the exit? So it's pointless to kind of go down this path of the exit strategy and building the plan and implementing that if the baseline that we need, which is the value of the business to be X, if we're far from that target. So then we can do things to first focus on growing the value of the business before we implement some of the other late stage things that you might do when you're exiting or retiring from your business.
Ashley, how soon should a person be thinking about that? So say they have a target of selling their business and they have a 5-year target, or maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe it hits them one day and they wake up the next day. But what's a good rule of thumb for people to start thinking about valuation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's one that I'm asked a lot. And I think ideally you would begin with the end in mind. You know, I think Stephen Covey was the person mm-hmm. who kind of coined that term. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's not realistic because most business owners, when they start their business, they're just trying to get things going and survive. But, you know, ideally you would think about exit as you're starting and growing your business. But I think you give yourself the longest runway and the best chance of success if you start planning your exit about 5 to 10 years out, especially if it's an internal succession plan. So if you're wanting to transition the business ownership to an employee or a group of employees or a family member, giving yourself more time to do that and make sure that it's a gradual transition will help ensure the success of that. You don't need quite as much time if you're in a hot market or hot industry. You know, there's plenty of third-party buyers who are wanting to purchase your business, but that's the exception. The vast majority of businesses are either when the owner exit, they're either just shut down or they transition to an insider. So if you want to set yourself up for success, I would say 5 to 10 years gives you the most options to implement the things that should be implemented for a good exit.
Thanks. Good advice.
So Ashley, it all makes sense in listening to it. And if you hear the story you told about one of your clients who died, boy, it's hard to argue with it. But what gets in the way of business owners actually doing it? What gets in their way of having a sound exit strategy in place?
Well, I think that what happened with that business owner is what happens with a lot of business owners is that a lot of it is procrastination. I mean, we're human beings. We all procrastinate in some way or the other. But I think a lot of owners have an inability to sort of pull away from working in the business versus on the business. And this is something that I think a lot of business owners hear all the time, but it's especially essential. It's essential if you want to grow your business and have it not revolve around you and build that support team and the right employees that you need in order to make your business successful. But it also applies to exit planning as well. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm kind of a control freak, so I have a hard time giving up control to other people. But for owners who, you know, it could be control issues, it could be the fact that, you know, they really like what they're doing and they kind of want to hold on to that. And they don't want, a lot of them, I think, are afraid if they start to back away from the business and give more responsibility to other people or, you know, managers or that next generation owner, and especially in an internal succession, that they're going to come to work one day and be like, why am I here? You know, like I'm not contributing anything anymore. And I think a lot of business owners, whether they acknowledge it or not, they're fearful of that. But I always encourage owners to kind of think about what the other side looks like for them, because owners have a very unique, and they're very fortunate because, you know, for most people, retirement tends to be more of an event versus a process. And that's changing. You know, there's a lot more people who are working part-time or kind of slowing down in retirement. But business owners, especially when it's an internal succession, they have the opportunity to back away from the business on their own terms. And then they can still own part or all of the business, even as they spend more time doing the things that they love to do outside of the business. So I really encourage business owners to really think through, like, if you were to spend your weeks, days, weeks, months, whatever, living your ideal lifestyle, what does that look like for you? How much time are you spending in the business? And really getting them to vision what that looks like. How are they involved in the business? How does that change and evolve over time? And what kinds of activities or things do they want to be doing to replace that as they begin to back away from the business? And I think that's what everyone is after, right? Like a good life balance where you have the freedom and the flexibility and you're not married to your 70-hour a week running of the business.
In a lot of the transitions that we see, people talk about the financial side so important, but we find mindset when it comes to this shift. When you look at the business owners that you're dealing with, and maybe your own within your own family, right? How business owners like this handle a shift in identity or a sense of looking for something else to do? Are they have they prepared themselves enough for this?
No. And I think a lot of them, they do recognize that they're like, gosh, what am I going to do with my time? And they do recognize that their identity a lot of times and where they find their purpose and meaning is all wrapped up in that who they are as a business owner. Now, that's not true for everybody. I have plenty of clients who are thinking, if I could retire yesterday, I would. There's all these other things that I want to do that I can't because I'm married to this business right now. But I do find that, and the data backs this up, there's been quite a bit of research out there done that, when people retire after the initial honeymoon period wears off, a lot of times they get bored, they get depressed, and it's really difficult transition. Retirement is, not just this laying on a hammock on a beach all the time. It's a very important and can be a very difficult transition for many, whether they realize it or not. And I do find, especially with business owners, that because so much of who they are as a person, their identity, where they find their purpose, where they find their meaning is all wrapped up in their business. If they transition out, especially if it's a quick transition, like they sell the business and they were going from working full time in it to, maybe not being involved 6 months or a year later at all, then I think they're more inclined to kind of drift along and not be happy. And so that's something that it's important for owners to understand and appreciate and guard against and kind of and think about as they plan for that. Because again, it can inform your priorities. If you go back to building the plan and setting those priorities, one of the first questions I always ask owners is, how are you involved in the business today? And how do you want to be involved? And how does that change over time for you? Like what in an ideal world, what does that timeline in that transition look like? Do you still want to be coming to the office every day when you're 80, 85 years old? And for some people, that is exactly what they want to do. But for others, we need to help them understand what it is that they want from their lifestyle, what they want that to look like, and how the business continues or doesn't continue to be a piece of that.
And Ashley, what are some of the other unique things that business owners need to think about in planning for their retirement?
The biggest issue for business owners, especially owners who have a successful business that is worth something, like the business has value, is that in those cases, most of their net worth is wrapped up in their business. And the other thing with business owners too is that because they know that their business is sort of this growth engine and they can get a much better return on their investment a lot of times by putting money back into the business versus saving in other areas like maximizing their 401k or other types of savings. What I find a lot of times is that when business owners kind of get to the end, everything is in the business. Most of their net worth is in that business. And then it becomes critical that they have a successful transition out, that they can't just put the key in the lock one last time and walk away with nothing. It actually becomes a critical component of their retirement that they receive some type of income stream continuously in retirement, or they sell their business or, you know, some other transaction where there is a monetary event that helps fund their retirement, because most of them just haven't balanced investing, reinvesting back in the business with saving in other areas. So then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I really got to make sure that I do this right. So that's where the exit planning comes in, and focusing on those right priorities and then implementing those things so that we give ourselves the best chance of success and the owner has the best chance of success of actually coming away with what they need financially when they decide to exit.
So when you talk with clients about retirement planning these days, what's top of mind for them?
I think it's actually, well, it's interesting because right now with the coronavirus and all the unrest, and it seems like are just, you know, down is up and up is down. And so it's a very challenging time for a lot of reasons right now. But I find that the concerns are whether the stock market and the economy is good or business is good versus it's not. I think it's always the same question and always the same concern that's top of mind. And that is, am I going to be okay? You know, am I going to be okay in retirement? And how can I make sure that I don't run out of money in retirement? You would think that someone who has net worth of in the several million dollar range, which, you know, is frankly a lot of business owners, that they wouldn't be concerned about that. But that's not the case at all. And so I think it's something that no matter what your financial circumstances are, no matter what your income stream, the assets that you have, how much or how little planning you've done for retirement, that's always something that's really top of mind for most people is, am I going to be okay? Do I have enough to make sure that I can live the lifestyle that I want in retirement and set myself up and my family up for success where I run out of money before I run out of time?
And for business owners who are listening to this conversation, Ashley, do you have any final thoughts you'd offer them?
Yes. So going back to the procrastination, I think one of the best things that owners can do to put some rocket fuel into their exit strategy is doing that first step, which is figuring out what your business is worth. And it's actually kind of a fun thing to do. I think all business owners are curious about wanting to know what their business is worth. And so that's where I always start with business owners is let's figure out what your business is worth today. And so I would really encourage owners to do that. And we actually have a tool that we make available for owners that allows them to very quickly gather basic pieces of information and get a very good estimate of value for their business for free. So I encourage anyone who is listening to this, who is a business owner and wants to get started on their exit strategy, do the valuation first. It's the most important first step you can take.
As someone who counsels people, business owners, on retirement, how has it impacted your thinking about your own retirement, even though it's a ways out, I'm sure?
Yeah. Well, I'm more on the front end of the working years than I am on the back end, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's because I talk with clients about it all the time and everybody's situation is different. I've thought a lot, way more than a normal 35-year-old would about their own retirement. But I think about it all the time. Like, if I were in this client's shoes, when would I want to retire? Do I want to retire earlier? Do I want to keep working? But I think my personality is such that, like, I force myself not to work on Sundays. And I actually have to be very disciplined and like, no, I'm putting my foot down. I am not working on Sundays. And, you know, that's a day for spending with my family and all of that. And so I think I really love what I do and I love work. And I think if that weren't the case, then I would probably try to be retiring as soon as possible. And, you know, how much is enough? When can I retire? And figuring that out. But the way it is right now, I think I totally see myself working well past the age of normal retirement. And I think part of that comes from just like a genetic, I don't know if you call it a defect or whatever, but my dad is very much that way too. He says he's going to die in his chair, like that's his dream. And I remember when we were little, we would, every year we would go on vacation somewhere. And I remember we'd be at like the pool in Hawaii or something. I'd be playing in the pool and he'd be sitting in the shade with his notepad out, just feverishly taking these notes and stuff. And I'd go over and I'd say, you know, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm planning. He's like, he'd have these ideas and on vacation, he would sort of have some time to kind of step back from the day-to-day of the business a little bit. And then it would inspire him to kind of think about, okay, like, where do I want to go from here? And what am I going to do? And he would write all these notes and he would do a lot of his business planning while he was on vacation. And I find I do the exact same thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am turning into my father. This is not good.
It happens to all of you. They all turn into their parents. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much again for spending time with us today.
Thank you. And Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today. And I know it's going to be very helpful to business owners as they think about what's next for them after their business.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That was an informative conversation with Ashley Michike. Dennis, what are your takeaways?
First thing that resonated a lot with me was when we started to talk about the unique challenges business owners have. We had discussed briefly, obviously planning ahead of time, and she's mentioned a lot about the valuation process, et cetera. But when I asked her about, do business owners handle this transition from a mindset perspective and from getting ready to transition not only their identity, but to transition into a different kind of purpose, do they handle that well? And her answer was no. And she gave some things that they could really focus on that could help them actually do that and complement the business planning that they're going through with people like herself that offer those services. And she said, you're thinking through how you want to live your life. What's your vision for your retirement? How are you going to spend your day? And she encouraged people to really do that. How are they going to spend their day? And how do they want to stay connected with their business? And I thought that was very good advice for people. It all tied into her essential components for a good strategy. And any good strategy is really understanding, as she said, understanding priorities and setting goals. And the takeaway I had, Joe, was, you know, you talk about the financial side, but don't forget about that non-financial side. The other point that jumped out at me, she mentioned preparation and planning a number of times. When people get anxious, planning and preparation can really go a long way. And she encourages that through a process. I think it's important that people who are thinking about any kind of transition really take the time to prepare and plan. One of her recommendations was they should probably do 5 to 10 years away from an exit strategy. And I know when we talk to people on the non-financial side, we say somewhere from 0 to 3 years away. And I think these are rules of thumb for people to think about. Don't forget about the planning aspect and preparing yourself. It will make things less hectic and provide more clarity. Joe, what about yourself?
So two things. The first one is procrastination or points about that. And come to think of it, I'll talk about that tomorrow. But what I've learned about procrastination is it's usually something that we find overwhelming. It's complicated. It's big. It's hairy. It's something we don't want to really get to because there's multiple steps involved and it isn't clear. So I think what she said is wise advice, and that's take the first step. So I think just getting that valuation, taking the first step it sounds to me like sage advice. Secondly, she talked a lot about the transition. What's it going to be like for you? It's different for everyone. As a business owner, is retirement going to be an event triggered to selling your business, or is it going to be a process? Are you going to gradually change your level of involvement in the business? So what's it look going to be for you? And our work picks up really where Ashley's leaves off, and that's really helping people following the sale of a business or in anticipation of selling a business, figure out what's next for them and what's next for them in the life they envision. So that's what we do. Thank you for joining the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. We have a number of new episodes coming up very quickly, and we look forward to connecting with you then.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.